Rex wouldn't ask us for help if it wasn't urgent.
Echo's got a point.
May I remind you that we are in the middle of a job for Sid. If we deviate, we will not be compensated. No money means no food.
Oh, yeah. Tech's got a point.
But Rex's friend is in trouble. That's more important than getting paid.
Well, the kid's got a point.
I've been waiting for you, Obi-Wan. We meet again at last.
This is Waiting for Obi, a Star Wars podcast.
Well, I hope it doesn't take too long. I have work to do.
Join us as we explore the stories told in a galaxy far, far away, providing narrative context and reactions to Star Wars on Disney Plus and beyond.
Hello there.
And now, Waiting for Obi, with your hosts, Jason and Kim.
Welcome back to another episode of Waiting for Obi, and today, this is one of my favorite episodes yet, I think. I'm not sure.
Does this trump the, what was your, well, your first favorite one was the one with Hera, right?
Does it trump that one? I don't know. The Hera reveal was pretty good.
I agree. I don't know though. Like this one, there was some gasping and some, I had a few of those and covered my eyes once. So it brought some stuff. I was like, oh my gosh.
Covered your eyes is my favorite. Covered my eyes. I can't watch.
I can't watch.
I'm so invested in these animated characters.
And you
characters.
Spread your fingers apart because you're looking anyway.
Yeah. But before we get into that, a couple. I have one random thing to share this week related to Star Wars on Disney Plus and ancillary type things.
Fair play.
So we have two episodes left of The Bad Batch, whose titles I don't think are still yet revealed as of recording this. I could be totally wrong, but I don't know. Kim's going to look. So we'll see. But the next Star Wars series, as far as we're aware, coming to Disney Plus, is going to be Star Wars Visions, which has a release date of September 22nd. So we get a little bit of a break.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But still, that's not really that far off.
That's not really that far.
Closer than I thought it would be. They're really starting to stack these things up. This and the Marvel stuff.
Yeah. And if you are missing Star Wars and want to jump over to Marvel, I think What If comes out next week. So.
I do want to watch that.
That's going to be so good. So Star Wars Visions comes out September 22nd. If you're not familiar with that, that show is, they've basically gone around to, I think, I want to say 13. I could be totally wrong on that, but there may be more, maybe less. Hmm. But anyways, they've gone to like a dozen different anime studios in Japan and said, here, please tell a Star Wars story in your storytelling. So there's a lot of like authentically Japanese, but like, truly Star Wars-ness to it, which feels real good because, you know, we know there was a lot of samurai influence in the original Star Wars and the Jedi.
Oh, for sure.
So
yeah.
If
you haven't checked out that trailer, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, it's so good. Something that StarWars.com dropped this week is that there is one episode or one mini show, one short movie. I'm not sure what they're called because they're each isolated, I believe. One of the episodes is called Ronin, based on a... based on a Jedi. Actually, I think it's a Sith, an ancient Sith. I could be wrong. I don't know. But anyways, the novelist, there's actually a novel coming out called Ronin. It's based on the show called The Duel from Star Wars Visions. And so that novel's coming out October 12th. Wow, words are so hard today. so the fact that they're actually going to start building out these short films into other mediums is really cool.
Interesting.
Like, they actually found one that I guess the team really latched on and really liked and wanted to explore it further. So for you Star Wars book nerds out there, that I think would be a good pickup.
I have an additional thing, an additional Star Warsy thing, that Lego Star Wars is doing a Terrifying Tales on Disney Plus on October 1st. I think it's the first. It's a new animated special coming out just quote unquote just in time for Halloween. And the I don't know, the art piece for it is a gravestone that says rest in pieces, and then a red lightsaber, Lego style, of course, coming out of the ground. But it appears that this is Poe Dameron and BB-8. So this is after the events of Rise of Skywalker.
Okay. I've never been a huge Lego Star Wars fan, so
We'll see. And this is coming out of StarWars.com. Like, so this is where this article is coming from, if you want to read more into it and who's all going to be there and who are all going to do voices. That's one that I'll probably... They're silly. They're fun. Like, I don't know how canon... I mean, I guess they're sort of canon.
They last time I did some research is that the LEGO Star Wars series are based on canon, but they themselves do not dictate future canon.
Okay, that's fair. I'm glad, like, about that.
Yeah,
I think.
The contents is informed by what has happened in the past. However, the actions within the stories themselves do not constitute canon.
This has a great description as one of the characters, though. A character is referred to as a plucky and courageous young boy.
Plucky's
who works as a mechanic.
Adjective.
Plucky is such an underused adjective. Anyway, okay. So if you like that sort of thing, Star Wars Terrifying Tales on Disney Plus on October 1st.
But that's all the random stuff we have today. Let's get talking about the penultimate episode of the series, War Mantle.
That was so good. Oh, but this is a spoiler warning because we're going to talk about all that. I got all excited about getting ready to talk about it that I forgot that I should warn you that we're going to talk about it. And so we're going to blow the roof right off of this storyline. So be prepared. We're going to talk about it. And Jason's going to give you a little background context. So there's a little bit of maybe some Rebel stuff that also might get a little spoily-oilies.
Spoily-oilies. Yeah.
This is your warning. Turn back now if you don't want to proceed.
And as always, we try to provide as much narrative context to the episodes as possible. So as the moment arises, there is a character in this episode that we will do a little bit of a backstory when we get there.
He was a little crazy.
Well, yes.
I think you're going to tell me why. And
we will get into that for sure.
Like it.
Cool. So the episode starts with a distress call.
Yeah.
As many good Star Wars episodes do.
Yeah, so this is on the planet Daro, right? You just jump right in, and this dude's clearly getting chased. And I already had a lot of questions about, well, what are we doing? Yep. What are they running from? Who the heck is that? Because you can just tell that it's a clone, but that's about all you're getting out of it from the opening of it anyway.
Yeah, and there it leads us to believe that we should feel invested in this clone that is getting hunted down, but we're not really sure why.
Yep.
It didn't look like, I mean, not all of them have distinctive physical features, but like Rex is distinctive and Rex would not be traveling around in armor. So it wasn't Rex. From the offset, we kind of put that one away, but like, who is this clone? And should we care? That's really what it came down to. But from what I got from this segment was like, they're hunting down these clones. Like, you know, it's not just a couple, like there's a lot that are getting targeted in this kind of conversion from from clone soldiers to conscripted soldiers.
Yeah. Now I actually thought that beacon was actually more like a bomb device instead.
Yeah. I thought something was really exciting.
I was expecting as soon as he ran away from it, I was expecting a boom. Like I figured that it was, but it did not. And so I went, oh, well, so it took me a minute to actually realize until the story moved on a little bit that was actually a homing beacon, not a thing that goes boom. I've been hanging out with Wrecker too much. I just expected booms.
So that homing beacon does its job, and we cut to the Havoc Marauder and our Bad Batch friends who have just finished up a job, so to speak, for Sid, as they tend to do. And as most of these things happen, they get diverted from going back to Sid by a distress call from none other than their good friend Rex, several episodes.
Yeah, so we sort of get to see Rex, right? Mm-hmm. He's pretty hooded, and he's clearly in not a super safe place that I feel like you could gather from. He's got a hood up. It's kind of hard to see him, and then he has to rush off of this conversation as well. So it does not seem like Rex is in a super safe location at this point.
Right. And it does lead us to see that, I mean, Rex is really kind of has this mission to go rescue his brothers.
Yeah.
And he got into himself a situation right here where he needed the help from his Bad Batch friends who, I mean, so he takes them up on their offer to help him. And this is where like the big debate, and this debate happens almost, you know, a lot of the episodes. Do we help him or do we not? And Hunter is still on this, like, it's too dangerous. We need to keep ourselves safe.
And then they go do it anyway.
They can do it anyways. Well, Omega has been a big voice in being like, hey, guys, like, we need to help these people. No fear.
He's married. Does he love me? Does he love me not? It's almost like one of those. Like, will we go on this mission? Will we go back where it's safe? We'll go on this mission. Like, that's what it feels like.
I mean, the gag with Wrecker. He's got a point. Oh, he's got a point too.
I love that so much. I text Jason at this point and I said, you could sell Wrecker oceanfront property on Tatooine. Like, he can be coerced into. I loved that. Like, oh yeah, like he's just infomercials. Wrecker better never get a hold of any of those. He's gonna order all this stuff.
So the Bad Batch head to the planet of Darrow, searching out this homing beacon. This is where we really get to see Hunter's skills. We haven't really gotten to see a lot of Hunter and his tracking skills.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to see.
He's on it, man.
See this. All we know is this is Trooper CC5576, not a number that should ring any of our bells, unless you've memorized every clone trooper's designation, which...
Holy cannoli.
Good for you. That's dedication to you, folks.
I can barely remember what I need from the grocery store.
Right.
So kudos to you if you know all those.
But they end up finding the homing beacon and not the trooper that they are searching for. So clearly, and Hunter with his instincts, and he sees what has happened, that the trooper has gotten captured and is probably imprisoned somewhere nearby.
Yeah, but they also saw, like, he saw that a shuttle had landed, so they were still a little confused of, is he inside or did he get flown off?
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, his tracking skills were quite good. And... at first, I think we're still kind of, because we don't know either. We just know that they definitely knocked him out and drug him off. Like, that's the extent of what we know from watching the episode.
Right.
So we don't know where they took this guy either.
Not one bit. And of course, and they don't even know, like, the planet looks deserted. It looks barren. Like, their scanners don't pick up anything. So the fact that, I mean, it takes Hunter's tracking skills to realize that, hey, there's probably, like, something in this mountain. Because it looks... oddly suspicious.
Sneaky, putting a whole base in a mountain.
A whole base in a mountain. We've never
That's
put
never
bases
been
in
done
planets
before.
So this is where Hunter splits the team up. Actually, he
never split the party.
Right. So
first rule of D&D.
Splits up the party, which always seems to work in their favor, usually.
It does.
But in this case, oddly enough, he sends Wrecker away with Omega, which I thought was interesting.
He sent the kids back to the ship.
Good point.
but in all honesty, if he's worried about Omega, Wrecker's probably one of the best ones to defend her.
Sure.
Should he be thinking about what if somebody finds the ship and who's going to be enough muscle to come save us if we need it?
And if we're going on a stealth mission, let's take the...
the not clumsy, noisy one, for sure.
Let's not take the clumsy, noisy one. So they split the party up, and then Hunter takes Echo and Tech and go check out the base.
See what they can find in the mountain.
And they... oddly, this is where it's crazy, because the camera pans up, you see how big and tall this thing is, and those three just, like, climb it, scale it, and they still have breath left over to...
Right?
I was like, oh, I'm out of breath just knowing that sequence just happened.
Just watching them take the first steps, I'm like, I'm done.
Where's my shuttle? Give me a galactic Uber.
Galactic Uber.
Sorry, I don't know where that came from.
I like it.
So
then we, like, jump over, right?
We
so
do.
Now we jump back to Booker City.
We're head over to Kamino. And this is where I really see that there is some real concern from the Kaminoans that their operation is going to get dismantled. They've already lost their contract from the Empire.
Yep.
Like, they're not winning any battles there. They need to keep one big contract, because, I mean, they put all their eggs in one basket, and that's their own fault.
Yep.
But,
shame.
Their whole business is serving, is to building armies for one major galactic power, and now that galactic power doesn't need them anymore.
Need/want, yeah. Because Nala Say kind of pushes, goes, well, we can get other contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And Prime Minister Lama Su's going, they're essentially not going to let us do that.
Yeah. Rampart seems to imply in a conversation with Crosshair that they're going to, quote unquote, take care of them when the time is right.
Mm-hmm.
We always know what that means in Empire speak.
Right. And I feel like you and I kind of said, like, their future seems real unsure.
Yep.
In earlier episodes that we're like, I don't know that I see them getting out of this.
Yeah, and from a like a larger galactic standpoint, I kind of dig it, because if there was a big cloning operation still around, you know, 30, 45 years later, I think, you know, the sequel trilogy would have played out a lot differently. So the fact that
they kind of have to make them go somewhere.
Yeah. Sadly, that is probably true. At least the majority of them. Lama Su tries to subvert this, telling Nala Se to grab her staff and kind of
start to make arrangements, get essential people so that they could. And I'm assuming by essential, they mean those who could help us rebuild this somewhere else, is kind of what I assumed.
So, of course, that probably won't play out the way they want it to, but
yeah, this seems like a perfect plan that they're totally not going to get caught in.
Right.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yep. So we're heading back over to Planet Darrow, where the three guys get dropped off.
You know, Echo was really forceful in this one of saying, because there's still a lot of like, who is this guy? We don't even know who we're going to rescue.
Yeah.
And Echo really is like, well, if Rex trusts him, then I trust Rex.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, so they did a drop and go. So at some point, somebody had to take over flying the ship.
Right.
For all of them to get off. And then I'm guessing the ship goes back to hide somewhere. So they did get a galactic Uber.
Yeah, so they get themselves inside the base. The whole point is they're trying to rescue clone trooper CC5576 using Echo's droid abilities and Tech's brain power, trying to locate this particular trooper in the barracks, and they do find him. Oddly enough, this is fairly uneventful as they get to the cell, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they made it through there. I was impressed with how well they were able to, and the first thing I think we're seeing is this the first time we're seeing the clones dressed like this? Like, or the armor's changed, right?
Yeah, they're starting to pivot from, Clone War era armor to the Stormtrooper armor.
The Stormtrooper. But this is because they make a mention that, hey, they look different, like they've got different armor on than what we do. But I thought them getting through, it felt so much like when Luke and Han and all them kind of are sneaking around in A New Hope too, that they really weren't that hard to get past.
Right.
To get to where they needed to go. I mean, I'm assuming, you know, no events to get there because we need that for story, but
it's interesting that they do. I mean, they're starting to see this, they themselves are starting to see this pivot to conscripted soldiers. Mm-hmm. And Echo has made this mention of, you know, there are 50 clone commandos on the base and 1,000 TK troopers. They don't even know what TK trooper means. It's something they discover throughout the episode, but it is making that designation between the CCs and the CTs and the other C troopers to TK.
Yeah, and this whole base seems to be upgraded because Echo kind of had trouble tapping into their network. Mm. Their network terminal, like, and that whole encryption was new, so it took him. So we're definitely seeing like more things, and some of their old tricks don't work, which we end up kind of seeing in here because Echo, it took him longer. We saw that Chopper couldn't disable the stuff back on Ryloth, and so some of their old knowledge is now getting changed, which is going to make things a lot harder for them.
And that's, we don't really see that anywhere. Like, this is the first story where we're really getting to actively see the transition from, like, the logistical transition from the Republic to the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
There's the PR transition that just pivots in, you know, episode 3.
Yeah, everybody sent all their banners out. Yeah.
Everybody puts their banners out. The Emperor declares he's the Empire. He's the Emperor, and we're all part of the Galactic Empire. But, like, it takes the course of this season to really start to see how the Empire takes the old Republic and converts it into what they want to see happen.
Yeah, that was interesting. And that was just a little bit that I'd noticed that I was like, ooh, it's harder. Like the stuff that they knew that they tried and true to intel that got them through into and out of a few sticky situations is now not as good as it was.
For sure. So they find the prison. They find the prison cell block. They head down there. They knock out a guard or two, and they rescue CC5576, who identifies himself as Gregor, which is where it all starts to click. And this is where the episode gets exciting for the animated buffs out there and the larger Star Wars fan buffs out there, as we finally get to see Gregor in this state. Now, who is Gregor, you ask? I'm glad you asked that question.
Yeah, who is Gregor? There you go.
Thank you. Thank you, Kim.
Yep. Gotcha.
Gregor has had two major appearances in the Star Wars universe. He was introduced to us in a story arc in season 5 of The Clone Wars.
Okay.
This is where Gregor was. He was actually a commander of a specialized team. They were supposed to go in and accomplish some sort of mission. In the course of the mission, he gets clocked out so hard that he goes missing in action and develops amnesia. Someone actually like takes advantage. Like someone realizes that he's a trooper, but like takes advantage of him and says he's a gardener. Like he like gardens for a while, which is really odd.
Interesting.
So he has amnesia, which really starts to fuel like why he's kind of nutty.
Yeah. And because he did come across, even, I mean, from the get go, he just seems like there are a couple things loose up in there.
So he is actually rescued by Rex in that series, and they go and complete the mission that he was set on. You know, he starts to regain some of his knowledge of his past life throughout the course of that mission.
Okay. But
so that is where we first introduced to Gregor. And then fast forward to Star Wars Rebels, when Rex comes on the scene in Star Wars Rebels and Ahsoka and all that, Rex is with Gregor. And Gregor is like a complete loony bin in Star Wars Rebels. He's one of the three. He's one of the three troopers that are in that original arc: Rex, Gregor, and Wolf. So, and Gregor's the one who's just like nuts. So what we're seeing
is a little Looney Tunes.
What we're seeing here is that like that midpoint, and we kind of see the same thing they did with Saul Guerrero's character, because we saw Saul Guerrero on either side of like when he was first introduced, and then when he was like lost all sense in Rogue One, and then we see him in these animated stories, kind of like in that middle of that middle stage of his development. So it's kind of neat to see them kind of transition here. This is a great, another great performance by our voice talent.
Yeah, Dee Bradley Baker did a really good job of changing up the voice and creating this character.
Yeah, and Gregor's a kind of a neat little character. He's always. He's always on the right side of the conflict, like the correct side. And we see here that, you know, his whole backstory in this particular episode is that he was sent to this facility to train these, conscripted soldiers, and he just didn't like where things were going and bailed, and he got caught a couple times, apparently.
Yeah.
But he's finally rescued, by the Bad Batch, and of course, the Clone Force 99 has to convince him that he was sent by Rex, because he didn't. He was kind of distrusting of everybody at this point.
Yeah, which I kind of get. And he does mention that that he felt like the troopers that are now kind of loyal to the Empire are the ones that are really defective. Because, of course, the whole thing of the Bad Batch being the defective clones comes up kind of again in this conversation.
Yep.
This show is sponsored in part by the Chance Cube Trading Card Services, providing appraisal, grading, and consignment services for your non-sports trading card collections at little to no upfront cost to you. Visit facebook.com/thechancecube to find out more. And Tabletop Rebellion, creating fun reviews and playthroughs of new and favorite board games as they strive to bring people together one game at a time. Be sure to check them out on YouTube at youtube.com/tabletoprebellion.
And so, yeah, this is where we see they tried to use some intel that they had. So some codes, code 16, I think it was. And it instead triggers a security alert because those codes don't work in this particular facility anymore.
Right.
So it's a dead giveaway that somebody who is older or connected with them previously is trying to fiddle with the system, which kudos to the Empire for thinking of changing, implementing new infrastructure. From an IT security standpoint in my other life, I'm like, that's pretty slick, because then you basically, I mean, you set it up to where you completely protected yourself from anything like that. Simple enough, because they're not going to know that you changed your infrastructure, and they're going to try to use an old code, and you just program the system to trigger it.
Yep.
That was pretty slick.
That was pretty good. Of course, this prompts an all-out firefight between the Clone Force 99 and the conscripted soldiers, the TKs, as they are known. I believe this one group is actually led by a clone trooper, a clone commando, as a lot of these units are. But, you know, the Bad Batch is resourceful enough. They do kind of fight their way out of it. This is the first time they actually see that the face behind these TKs is not a clone. That's actually someone else. And Gregor kind of goes into this a little bit. This is where we get his backstory and why he's here. That he was here to teach these guys. This is kind of a really funny moment. It doesn't really explain a lot, but it does kind of poke fun at the fact that, you know, the clone troopers were sharpshooters, the First Order sharpshooters, but your average Imperial troopers can't hit the broadside of a barn with their blasters.
I had this epiphany the other day, and I should have written it down. That was like, were they bad shots on purpose because they didn't necessarily agree with what was happening but couldn't go against it? So they were just bad shots, and that's just how it went down. So that even though they were trained to be sharpshooters, they shot poorly so as not to kill or injure people who they actually believed in.
Right. Anything's possible. I also like the fact that Gregor was like, when Hunter's like, Gregor, I thought you trained these guys. And Gregor's like, I didn't teach them everything.
Yeah.
So that's pretty clever move there for them. They do find their way out. They do ask for a pickup from their friends over in the Havoc Marauder, the Omega. And
they're on their way. They're on route, however it was Omega said it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she's just sitting along, like, pushing buttons and Wrecker's doing all the flying, but she at least looked like she was having fun up there.
Wrecker and Omega here to swoop in and save the day. Doesn't quite go as they want it to, unfortunately.
No, they're trying to pick them up literally off the side, out of a vent in the side of this mountain. Which was that was pretty smart. I mean, to find an exhaust vent to get out of. They've always got, you would think the Empire would learn to stop building all these really, really easy to escape out of exhaust vents.
Right.
But they never do. And they are just attempting to pick them up, and now, do you know anything about the commando that's named Scorch?
I do not.
I kept feeling like I saw information about this, like people were talking about. So he is he's an RC 1262 clone commando. He killed two Jedi. I'm looking up who he is while we're looking at this. He was involved with, so I'm going to have to look this up, and you may want to find it on Wikipedia as well. But they specifically aimed for Scorch, and there was definitely more to him that I just didn't know enough about him. And it does look like he has a little bit of history in the period following the Clone Wars and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like he may have
definitely killed two Jedi.
Oh, that's great.
Or no, they recovered two Jedi, and then he took them to the Jedi Temple on Coruscant. Mm. So I don't know if he's good or bad, but he was trying to stop them because they told him to stun him. I don't know. So maybe we'll learn more about that next week or at another time. So this is where I did one of the, because they're trying to get everybody on the ship. And there's enough fire that the ship's got to pull away. So they're only getting a couple of them at a time. And this is where I got super stressed out.
Well, and we also see Omega's taking some flying lessons because Omega is piloting the ship to some extent while Wrecker is trying to get them on
board. She's trying to hold it, which was pretty impressive. But then there's some, what were they? Were they V-wings?
Yeah.
And some gunships. So now they're getting firefight from... Wrecker and Omega were just a couple minutes too slow because the Bad Batch gets out of that exhaust vent, but those clone troopers come up and see that exhaust vent's open and very quickly are able to tell everybody where they are.
Yeah. So they're getting shot down. The Havoc Marauder's on their way to pick them up. The Marauder's only able to pick up... They get everybody except for Tech, Lies. They get everybody except for Echo and Hunter.
Yeah.
Echo and Hunter are left on the at the exhaust vent.
On this, on the little conduit, yeah.
Yeah.
Tech does go take control of the ship, thank the Lord.
Yes, and so Tech... Tech speeds off, try to shake the gunships that are chasing them. Sends record of the gunship just enough so they can swing back around
gun,
to pick
yeah.
up. They want to pick up Hunter and Echo. And it doesn't go great. There's actually a cool moment where one of their engines gets shot down, and who comes save the day? But our good friend, the power droid, Gonky.
Gonky, I know. And I kept thinking every time they keep showing Omega working on this droid. And you keep going, there's something that's going to come out of that at some point.
Yep.
I mean, there's got to be. And this was it. Gonky, we need you, I think is what Omega says, or something like that. And he totally gets the shield generator back on board, gets them the power that they need. So then Tech can try to take another pass to go pick up Echo and Hunter.
Yep. And unfortunately, they managed to get Echo. But Hunter, unfortunately, due to them getting shot down left and right, the troopers heading their way, Hunter doesn't make it. Hunter...
No, he grips and then he falls. And I thought, oh my God, Hunter just fell off a mountain. Like, he's not making it through this. Like, that's where I covered my eyes.
Yeah.
And then poor Gonky short circuits. So they're having system failures like crazy. And Hunter literally falls down the mountain, and he does kind of break his fall with a knife and some tree limbs.
Oddly enough, he does manage to survive pretty handily.
I thought that was it, man. I thought Hunter. It seemed. I mean, we're close enough to the end.
Just start. Picking
we don't know
off.
What they're gonna do with these characters.
The show's like, over because oh the entire Clone Force.
They're gonna pick them off. And of course, Omega's freaking out. And Hunter's just now he's sucked down. This is going to be a whole other different situation because he's down back on the ground in amongst a bunch of trees. Definitely not super easy for them to get to at this point.
Yep. But easy enough for the, easy enough for the troopers to get to him.
Mm-hmm. And, they find him real quick.
So he does call back to the ship and say, "Hey, leave without me. We'll figure it out later." Because he is really concerned about keeping Omega safe, keeping the rest of his crew safe, and he makes this decision. And, fortunately...
That was tough to watch, too. It was the right call. It was the only call he could make.
Yep.
I mean, because if they turn around and try to... There were enough troopers and the Marauder had taken so much damage that if they turned around to try to get Hunter, I think they all would have been captured.
Yep, for sure. So Hunter willingly gets captured at this moment. And it was his
surrounded
choice.
By a lot. Yeah.
It hurt. I imagine that
it hurt my heart.
Seems like we're going to be maybe heading on some mission to go get him, but I don't know. That'd be interesting to see because Hunter is the natural leader of the group and there's really not someone who could come up in his place unless Gregor does or Rex comes in and helps.
Oh, true. Yeah. So, they could go back and get Rex at this point. I hadn't thought about that.
So we'll see. But we do see Hunter actually in his cell, so it's great. They didn't, execute him on the spot. They imprisoned
him. Which I'm surprised by, honestly.
Yeah. But this was the moment that our good friend Crosshair shows up.
Yeah. I gasp again. I was like, oh no, Crosshair's got Hunter. That's not good. that's not good.
He's like, I'd rather have the whole set, but I'm glad it's you.
Yeah. And then like right before that, though, we do see they hop back over to the Kaminoans.
Mm-hmm.
And that jerk Prime Minister Lama Su plays dumb and 100% throws Nala Se under the bus like she was trying to escape on her own without any direction from him whatsoever.
Yeah.
And I think he's trying to play it cool, like, oh, she'll be disciplined in this and that. No, the whole flipping plan backfires. So he throws her under the bus, and now she is a goner I'm almost sure. And they take him, too, because they're like, we're done with you, too.
Yeah. It's interesting to see they did save Lama Su in this perspective. We don't know if they're going to go round him up and take him out. Or they seem to imply that maybe her
That's
skills...
True.
could be useful. And, you know, maybe this is how they start to build up this, how to build, you know, there's a lot of work. It's seemingly, it feels like they're doing a lot of work to make the sequel trilogy make more sense.
Yeah.
This is where they could start planting these seeds.
To use her to have been the one that does this thing for Palpatine.
Yeah.
I got you.
So we'll see.
No, not let's say. So maybe I'm wrong, because it does seem like maybe they'll hang on to her, but they are very clear that they don't need Lamassu's services.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
We need the scientist, not the politician.
Yep, because they arrest him for treason. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but he legit totally tried. I mean, I guess we see politicians act like this a lot in Star Wars and maybe other places in real life too, that they just throw whoever under the bus to try to protect themselves.
Yep.
And that's exactly what he did. And I actually am glad that it bites him in the tushy. I was not a huge fan of Lamassu's.
Well, and we're kind of left on this cliffhanger, right? Hunter's like, captured. Hunter and Crosshair. We've met, the Kaminoans have kind of lost their head politician. Now they're really at the service of the Empire. More and more of these conscripted soldiers are coming in place. Clone Force 99 is off. They've rescued Gregor. But the natural course from here is that they go find Echo. Sorry, not Echo. Rex.
Rex. I think you're right. And I hadn't even thought. I was so after the episode that I didn't really think about where they were going next. But that does make sense. Is let Rex know and then be like, hey, man, now we need you. Like, we got to get Hunter back.
Yeah.
Because I don't foresee Crosshair. Oh, there's a couple of things. There's so many things Crosshair could do to him. The inhibitor chip is gone, though. Like, it was removed. And I'm pretty sure they'd be able to tell that, because he's going to have a scar on the side of his head.
Yeah.
Because my first thought was like, will he try to then flip it, you know, try to use that chip to flip him over to their side? Will they try to put another chip in?
Yeah.
Because now they have Nala Say. Oh, there's so many things that could happen to Hunter.
Right.
Before Friday.
So that's all our questions from this episode.
What happens to Hunter on Friday? Yeah, this was a really good episode, though. We weren't really sure how they were going to move this story along to start getting things lined up for the season finale, and I think this episode did a real good job of that.
This did set us up for what's going to happen. I think, so where is this going to go? I think Rex is going to have to play a bigger part in the next episode, if not both of them. Will they mount a rescue mission for Hunter? I imagine Rex will probably point them in that direction. Omega's going to definitely point them in that direction. I don't know if the other three. It almost like, I mean, Tech, Echo, and Wrecker really don't have I hate to say this, but they really have purpose in life without Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do they move forward from here? I think Rex is going to be the catalyst. Omega's going to be the driver to go try and rescue Hunter. Hopefully they can save Crosshair if Crosshair's redeemable. And there's also one.
And that's still such a big question. Is Crosshair going to be redeemable or not?
And then we also have, if you're plugged in, if you had watched Star Wars Rebels, you know that Rex and Gregor are also with Wolf, Commander Wolf, who in that series was like kind of like not really on the Empire, but kind of like we weren't really sure what his kind of affiliation was. So, you know, it's possible that Wolf will show up as part of this too, because Dave does like to do things like that to bring the whole story together.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. We'll see. I'm really curious to see where this goes.
I always find it so interesting that they get these episodes made with so few voice actors.
Right. Well,
so I'm looking and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 from this episode.
Yeah. Well, you don't need many.
Because even the guy who does Vice Admiral Rampart does another voice. he did the Stormtrooper voice. That's so crazy to me. Like, it's just, they are very efficient in their staffing.
Well, Dee Bradley Baker's a very talented human being.
He really is. He really is. Oh, I'm so nervous about these next two episodes. What's going to happen?
It'll be fun. They'll all survive. Everybody will be happy. It'll be great.
I hope so.
Well, we hope some of these questions and more get answered soon. If you have any thoughts or comments on this episode you'd like to share, please feel free to drop us an email at contact@waitingforobi.com or find us on Facebook at Waiting for Obi.
And come back next week for our thoughts and opinions on the second to last episode of The Bad Batch.
We'll see you guys again next time.
Bye.
You have been listening to Waiting for Obi, presented by The Chance Cube. Thank you for spending time with us today. We hope you join us again. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/waitingforobi. Until next time, may the Force be with you. This program is a Rogue One, not affiliated with Lucasfilm or the Walt Disney Company.